Bid you all good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. I appreciate the fact you've chosen to be out with us here this evening. Does that look right, Albert, that that's coming up? I know there's other places you could be tonight. I know there's all kinds of excuses that could be made for not coming out this evening, but the fact that you're here, you've chosen, and you've made the effort to be here says a lot about you, and I appreciate that very much from the bottom of my heart. This evening, we make our appeal to the Bible once again, so that God's glorified in that. If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11, as I bring forth my lesson, I'll provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Word of God, so that you might know that they are the words of God, and that God is being glorified, but not only the proclamation of it, but your application, as it was prayed so well a few moments ago. And I appreciate that good prayer on my behalf. I'm always appreciative when the brethren here mention me in particular, and it's encouraging to me, and I thank you for that as well. Alan read so well a few moments ago from the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 26 and verse 21 is where the text of my lesson is tonight. King Saul had become very jealous of David. David was going to supersede him very soon. And he was very jealous of that. And he was chasing David, you may recall, all over the kingdom in an effort to kill him. And on a couple of different occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. But he did not do it. And on one of those occasions, after seeing what had occurred, that is the context of 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. When Saul says, I have sinned, return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. I'd like to talk to us here this evening about this idea of playing the fool. Each and every one of us, if we're not careful, can live very foolish lives. We can make very foolish decisions. And King Saul here on this occasion said, listen, I'm playing the fool, and I know that. And there are six occasions that I want to show you here tonight that the Bible talks about us playing the fool. And I want us to learn these applications here this evening, and then we'll bring this lesson to a close. The first place that I want you to appreciate that the Word of God has this idea is found in Psalm 14 and verse 1, where there the psalmist says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We live in a society today where this idea of evolution and humanism has become quite prevalent. And our friends and our family have said within their heart, there is no God. And the Word of God tells me that is a very foolish way to look at life. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Scriptures simply tell you and I that God is the one who's began everything that we see. It does not try to go around to prove that there's a God. It simply states that very fact. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You and I, all we have to do is look around at the creation and look at this world to be able to see that there is a God. Moses wrote in Psalms in 90 verse 2, he said, before thou formest the earth and the world and the mountains, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The fool has said there was no beginning by a God. In the book of Romans in chapter 1 in verse 19, the Apostle Paul is beginning that good book, and he's going to talk to us and show us how that God created the world and how the nations departed from him, both Jew and Gentile alike. And as he begins that, he says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhood, so that they are without excuse. You and I, all we have to do is look around at the world. You go out one of these days here and look up at the sun when it is setting, or you look at the moon and the stars and the world around about us. See the squirrels that are running about right now who do not have to sow or spin, but the Lord provides them food. You can't see these things without seeing the evidence of a God who created all things And you are, and I are without excuse for not being able to see that. In Acts 17 and verse 28, I read, "For in him we live and move and have our very being." I've heard folks who think that they're very smart say, "I've never seen God, and therefore I don't believe anything that I can't see." And I've often wanted to ask them, "Have you ever seen your brains?" Because I got to tell you, you got to be brainless to look around the world in this creation and not be able to see that there is a God. I want you to appreciate, first of all, those who say there is no God are playing the fool. But also I want you to see this. When you and I justify the way we're living our life and our decisions by what is right in our own eyes, we are playing the fool. Sometimes what I think about a matter does not mean that it is the case. There's one time someone says a man is shot with a gun, and someone is heard to say, "I thought that thing wasn't loaded." You see, it really didn't matter what somebody thought. It didn't matter because the man is still dead. Because guess what? The gun was loaded. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 2, the wise man says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." Even those of us here, the most righteous, many times will look at our own eyes and our own lives, and we can justify the decisions that we make. And the wise man says, "All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes." But I want you to appreciate the Word of God says that is a very foolish way to live your life. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." It is plain the fool. When I look around about me, and the only standard that I have is that I don't see anything wrong with it. The book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, he says there, "that has his own heart," or trusts in his own heart, "is a fool." Why is that so? Because Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, "It's the way of man is not within him. It's not within man who walks to direct his own steps." God has created us with the ability to choose our own way, but he's not created us with the ability to direct our own way. The only way that you and I can be directed correctly is by the words of God. The greatest time, or the worst time, I should say, the greatest downfall of Israel is described this way in Judges 21 and verse 25. "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And I want you to appreciate that that's playing the fool. We live in a society that day where our highest courts have basically just simply said, whatever man wants to do, he has a right to do it. Whatever is right in your own eyes, therefore do those things. We need, ladies and gentlemen, to get back to what Paul talks about in Romans 4 and verse 3 when he says, "What saith the Scripture?" What does the Word of God have to say on that matter? Be like Samuel of old in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. "Speak, thy servant heareth." David said in Psalm 119 verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There is the direction that you and I need to look to, the words of God, but the choices that we make on a daily basis. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 that we ought to think, or we ought not, I should say, think of man above that which is written. We need to stop quoting preachers and our own ideas and be more like Cornelius in Acts 10:33 when he said, "We are present here before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." What saith the Scripture? The wise man said in Proverbs 14 and 12, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death." Playing the fool, ladies and gentlemen, is what Saul said he was doing. And I want you to appreciate the fact that you and I are playing the fool when we do that which is right in our own eyes. But also, the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, "The fool makes a mockery of sin." An attitude towards sin is not what it once was. Some today even want to poke fun at sin. I read one time a Jewish rabbi that was talking, and he was bragging about this, by the way, in his parochial school. He said that his children that go to his school could go from kindergarten to 12th grade and never hear the word sin. I got to believe the devil's very happy about that, because I want you to appreciate that you and I are playing the fool when we mock at sin. Some of us, if we're not careful, allow our entertainment to be sitcoms that what to do, all they want to do, is to mock the idea of sin. Someone says, you mean sin will do the same thing to a person today that it did back in Bible days? It sure will. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 and verse 1, God's hand is not so short that it cannot save, or his ears so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sin has caused him to hide his face from you, so they will not hear. I read that the wages of sin is death. James said the same thing in James chapter 1 and verse 14, that we're all drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. A lot of folks have given sin a good whitewashing today in our society, but it still leads to being cast into outer darkness. God, or Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, when we mock sin and its consequences in our life, we are playing the fool. But let me show you another instance when somebody was playing the fool. If you have your Bibles handy, I'd like to read a few verses with you. In the book of Luke in chapter 12, I'd like to show you another person that God says was playing the fool. And this is found in Luke chapter 12 in verse 15. And I want you to appreciate here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a very familiar passage to all of us. But I ask you here this evening, you faithful Christians here on Sunday night, to listen to these words with fresh ears. Read them along with me with fresh eyes. Jesus said in verse 16, and he spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. So I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? And then God, Jesus here in this occasion, provides us divine commentary of his parable when he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here was a man, ladies and gentlemen, that was successful in business. Here was somebody who could go out and he could plant a vineyard and he could plant a crop, and boy, he would have a bumper crop. He had so much that his barns could not hold all the goods that he was able to make for himself. But when it was all said and done, God said, he's playing the fool. This man was rich toward himself and this life, but was not rich toward God. James has something very similar to say of something along those lines in James chapter 4. Once again, very familiar passages, but I'd like to take the time just to read those with you again tonight. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy, sell, and get gain. How many of us have said similar things this past week? Next week I'll do this. Next month I'll do that. I do this for another year and then I'll get involved in this. James says, now watch it before you're playing the fool. He says, whereas you know not what it's going to be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time then vanishes away. For this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. For those of you who may be hearing that for the first time, now you hear why some folks say, well, Lord willing. And the reason is because the admonition right here of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Those of us who like to try to make plans as if there's always going to be time for us to do something, Jesus said in his parable in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21, you're playing the fool. Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be which you have provided? That's the reason why Jesus would say in Matthew 6 verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust can corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Ladies and gentlemen, we are playing the fool when we leave God out of our hands, out of our plans. I want you also to appreciate this. When we, ladies and gentlemen, are unfaithful church members, when we are not continuing to remain faithful, we are playing the fool. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, there the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia and said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you not to be obedient to the truth?" In chapter 5 and verse 7 of that same good book, he said, "You did run well. Who has hindered you that you not be obedient to the truth?" When you and I, ladies and gentlemen, obey the gospel, and then we do not remain faithful to God, we are playing the fool, Paul said. You foolish Galatians. Who has hindered thee? I want you to appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, your adversary is very real. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be ye sober and vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour." The devil wishes to hinder you and I from remaining faithful. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18 told the church at Thessalonica, he said, "We would have come to you, but Satan hindered me." You see, Satan was getting in the way. In Ephesians 4 and verse 27, Paul says, "Give no place for the devil." In the book of 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, Paul said, "For we be not ignorant of his devices," but a lot of us are. A lot of us, ladies and gentlemen, do not appreciate and do not keep in the forefront of our mind that we are in a spiritual warfare. And the devil, as a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. And you may recall in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, it was Satan coming as the sons of God came before him, and Satan came among them as well. Ladies and gentlemen, he wishes to be a part of your life. He wishes to be a part of this congregation here to get involved and hinder us from being obedient to the truth. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves as the habit of some is, but rather exhorting one another as you see the day approaching." I appreciate you being here tonight. I exhort you, remain faithful. Encourage your other brothers and sisters in Christ that you look around about here who are not here this evening. Because I got to tell you here, and I say it kindly, yet firmly, you're playing the fool. Don't remain faithful to the Lord. One more point, and the lesson's yours. I want you to appreciate the Word of God tells me that we are being foolish when we are not preparing to meet our God. One of my favorite parables is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. I guess this probably launched 100 sermons for me over the years. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, you may recall, there the Word of God says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, but 5 of them," watch it, "were playing the fool. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather, therefore, to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes.'" I preach a sermon sometimes entitled "Sad Words," and one of those, ladies and gentlemen, is verse 10 of Matthew chapter 25. And the door was shut. 5 wise, 5 foolish. Why were they foolish? They were not prepared. They were not prepared to meet God. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount ends it that way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, have we not in thy name prophesied? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? And have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, I'll profess unto them at that time, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Therefore, he said, whosoever heareth these words of mine and keep doing them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains came, the winds blew, and the floods rose, and beat upon a house, but it stood firm because it was founded upon a rock. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the winds came, the floods grew, that house was destroyed because it was on the sand, you see. That's Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 27. You and I are playing the fool when we're not obedient to the word of God and when you and I are not preparing to meet our Lord. In Amos chapter 4, in verse 12, O ye Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, that any of us are playing the fool? I will tell you the answer to that is yes. When one says there is no God, when you and I do that which is right in our own eyes, when you and I mock at sin and its consequence in our life, when we do not make plans with God and eternity always in the forefront of the things we do, when we're not faithful to the services of this good congregation, we're not faithful to the Lord, and those not preparing to meet their God. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You've listened well tonight, and I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you tonight. Maybe there's one here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel. I look around about. I think we've all done that. Maybe you need to pray at the congregation. Repent of sin or confess sin. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation to you right now. We're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to it in any way, come forward now as we stand, as we sing. Good.